May it please the court, my name is Anne Gill. My registration number is 14610. I'm appearing today on behalf of Neil Daly, the teacher in this case. The relevant statutory framework is intended to protect the academic freedom of a teacher and balance that with the district's hiring and firing of teachers. It provides a two-step process in which the first step when the teacher requests a hearing is to provide an impartial fact finder who determines what the evidentiary facts are in the case. It is then the task of the school district to adopt the ultimate facts, which are the combination of the historic facts and law as to whether the district's recommendation for dismissing a teacher has been established. In this particular case, we are asking you, in addition to reviewing that, to look at the evidentiary facts to determine whether there's substantial evidence in the record for the factual findings that the hearing officer entered in this case. The hearing officer began his factual findings by a recitation of a prior proceeding involving this teacher and characterized those proceedings in his hearings, in which he focused primarily on the technical problem of a failure to provide an evaluation and cited that as the primary reason why the earlier dismissal proceeding resulted in the recommendation of retaining the teacher. I believe that a full reading of the earlier proceeding will show that that proceeding resulted in the recommendation of retaining the teacher because the district did not meet its burden of proof to show that there were evidentiary findings to support the charges that resulted in the dismissal.
However, assuming your characterization is correct, why would that matter to us?
I think it's a significant background, Your Honor, because here the first proceeding was a recommendation from Superintendent Anderson, who following that proceeding recommended or transferred the teacher to a different school district, purporting to give him a fresh start. However, she did not take down or have taken down from the school's website the recommendation of dismissal in the first proceeding so that it was available on the website without the ultimate decision to retain the teacher, and that recommendation of dismissal remained on the web available to both the teachers and parents at the new school. So the teacher did not get a fresh start at the new school. Instead, he went to the school with a cloud over his head, and even the principal at the new school, who preferred to do her own hiring but had to accept the administrative transfer, thought that the teacher was on a remediation plan such that when she did her first semester evaluation, she recommended that he not be retained, which cannot happen if he was not already under a remediation plan. So it was a cloud he was operating under to start with in this proceeding.
Assuming that's true, Ms. Gill, why does it matter in terms of the final decision made by the board here, that is that there were sufficient facts based upon the ALJ's findings that would support termination regardless of what happened in that first proceeding?
Because what happened in the second proceeding, Your Honor, the findings that the hearing officer made were extremely few. It's primarily a recitation of raw historical testimony. And if you were to review the record, you would see that the actual record presented to the hearing officer contains significant contradictions. I see the record as primarily relying on three witnesses, Superintendent Anderson, Principal Hasker, and Ms. Nieto. Each one of those people observed the teacher in his classroom and took notes on his performance in the classroom. And I think if you compare the raw simultaneous notes, not the conclusory statements, but the raw information on what he was doing in his classroom, you will find a direct contradiction between those observation notes and what they stated as their conclusions, in which they recommended that he not to be retained.
If there were inconsistencies, isn't that simply a matter of resolving credibility, which is left up to the hearing officer?
That is what the hearing officer is tasked to do. I think the hearing officer did not do that. He had 102 numbered paragraphs of the evidentiary findings in which he recited a lot of raw data. He then went into the section of his decision called it Discussion and Conclusions of Fact, in which he jumped to conclusions that the inadequate performance had been convincingly proven. He did not adopt single incidents to support the conclusion of failure to differentiate, failure to do this or that in the classroom. It's rather a conclusion without any underlying individual factual support. And that is what the hearing officer was supposed to do, to determine what of the contradictory evidence he was going to adopt as facts. And he did not do that for the most part. There were very few things that he adopted as evidentiary fact. And those that he did adopt do not sustain the severe sanction of dismissing the teacher. For example, Principal Hasker has a number of conclusions in her testimony and frequently at this space throughout her observation notes about failure to differentiate, failure to teach, failure to instruct, or instructions not clear. But she also details in her observation notes specific individual things that were happening. One incident was she criticized the teacher's instructions to the students on clearing up the tables as they were completing a task, but then she also noted that the students did perform the task of clearing the table quite well. So there's a contradiction there within her own notes. She also talked about not modeling lessons, but at the same observation period, she would say that the teacher is at the board writing instructions. He's taking input from the students on what to write.
Principal Hasker, was she not?
Yes.
She testified?
Yes, she did, Your
Honor. Was she cross-examined about these discrepancies that you're articulating to us?
I believe so, but the hearing officer did not address them in his findings.
He credited one as opposed to the other, a conclusion that the teacher did fail to differentiate. Doesn't that mean that he, in essence, discredited the contrary reference or the contrary inference?
I do not think so, Your Honor, because here I think that the hearing officer had to state to specific facts for coming to that conclusion. He needed to say that either Principal Hasker's testimony, even though contradicted by her direct observation notes simultaneously taken, is more credible than what she saw in the classroom at the time. I think you can make similar comments about what Superintendent Anderson did in her observations of the teacher. She is recommended dismissal and made the conclusory statements. One of the more memorable incidents in the observations was a science class in which the students were observing a tank full of guppies. And she said the students' observations were at a very preschool level. But then she goes on to detail how the students were identifying male and female guppies and how they behaved in a pack and that kind of thing, which was an age-appropriate observation for fourth graders to be made.
Well, let me direct your attention to something the ALJ said. It's on record 129. Well, this deficiency is supported not only by Ms. Hasker's frequent observations, but also by the formal classroom observations by Ms. Anderson. And the sentence continues, but I'll stop there. I mean, isn't that the equivalent of the ALJ having found Hasker's and Anderson's observations credible, even if you're successful or trial counsel was successful in pointing out some discrepancies?
I think that is a transitioning from the evidentiary facts of what happened in the classroom to an ultimate finding to make the ultimate decision of whether to retain the teacher. I would direct your attention to the Fleming case in which a music teacher was recommended for dismissal based on her disciplining of students. And the court, in reviewing that the case, went into a lengthy discussion on the distinction between evidentiary findings and the ultimate findings. It said that the findings that the hearing officer was tasked to make was whether the discipline happened, but not whether it was appropriate discipline. I think that by analogy here, the conclusion of failure to differentiate is an ultimate conclusion because it determines whether the school board is going to dismiss the teacher. And here I think that you have, although certain cases say it's a clear distinction between evidentiary findings and ultimate findings, I think that because of the number of cases that's been published which discuss that distinction, it truly is a difficult distinction to make. And here, the conclusion of failure to differentiate and that kind of thing that was made against this teacher, I believe, are ultimate findings. And the hearing officer did not make specific individual findings underlying to support that conclusion. And I think that the lack of evidentiary findings here do not support an ultimate conclusion that this teacher should be subjected to dismissal.
It's not sufficient for the hearing officer simply to cite as corroboration the testimony of the principal? Are you saying that he'd have to enumerate specific things that the principal said?
I think that a mere conclusion from the principal or from Superintendent Anderson or from Ms. Nieto has to be supported by factual determinations in order to give the teacher the benefit of the statutory process in which he is supposed to have an impartial fact finder. I think that jumping straight to a conclusion does not give the teacher the benefit of the statutory framework, which is intended to balance the competing needs of the parties in this situation.
Would the remedy be to remand for additional findings if your position relates more to the adequacy of the findings rather than to the adequacy of the evidence supporting the findings?
I think that here, where the hearing officer had an opportunity to make factual findings and did not do so, that the district is bound by that record. I believe there was one case in which a board remanded to a hearing officer, but I have not found any cases in which this court has remanded a proceeding for findings. So, I think that the statutory framework requires the hearing officer to make specific evidentiary findings of historic fact to support the conclusions that would lead to a decision on whether to retain or dismiss a teacher. I ask you to reverse the school board in this case in order that the teacher be reinstated. I have a little time left. I'd like to save that for rebuttal.
May it please the court, Stu Steller, attorney registration number 22082 of Kaplan and Ernest here on behalf of the Jefferson County School District. Your Honor, there's really one legal issue here. It's been stated differently two different times, but the legal issue is whether or not the hearing officer's findings were supported by substantial evidence. Just a presentation of that question alone concedes that the hearing officer's findings, if supported by substantial evidence, support the board's decision to dismiss the teacher. So what is it that the hearing officer found? The hearing officer found that Mr. Daly's failed to, and I'm reading on page 21, paraphrasing the findings, changing failure to failed. He failed to teach to the required learning goals. He failed to differentiate instruction based upon student needs. He failed to manage his classroom to redirect students who were off task or disengaged from instruction. He failed to adequately monitor students' depth of understanding. He failed to provide sufficient feedback, failed to efficiently manage class time, and failed to adequately collaborate with teammates and communicate with parents. He says these deficiencies were convincingly proven. There was a 4-day evidentiary hearing. Principal Hasker testified for a day and a half, direct, cross-examination, redirect, recross. Her testimony goes on for hundreds of pages. Her testimony is corroborated by the testimony of Community Superintendent Holly Anderson and the testimony of Mr. Daly's colleagues, other fourth grade teachers, who testified that he was not pulling his load in their meetings and that when they entered his classroom, the classroom was, the word that was used, chaotic. To say that there is not substantial evidence in the record is to ignore hundreds of pages of testimony, hundreds of pages of contemporaneous notes, hundreds of pages of exhibits. To the extent that opposing counsel is up here arguing should have looked at this as opposed to that, that implicitly concedes that there is substantial evidence in the record to support those findings. The argument that's made is that these findings that I just referred you to, that those constitute findings of ultimate fact as opposed to evidentiary fact. Evidentiary fact is a determination of what happened. what went on in the classroom. Finding of ultimate fact is, does what went on in the classroom meet a specific legal standard? One of the questions we wanted to know that we presented to the hearing officer is, was he presenting learning goals to the students? Was he differentiating instruction? Was he managing his classroom? The hearing officer found in each of those cases, based upon the testimony of four different witnesses, that he was failing to do that. Those are findings of what went on in his classroom. The standard is unsatisfactory performance. So the question is whether or not a failure to present learning goals constitute satisfactory performance. It does not. The question of ultimate fact is whether or not a failure to differentiate instruction, failure to manage the classroom, failure to work cooperatively with your colleagues, whether that demonstrates satisfactory performance. It does not. This case has very few issues, but I want to remind the court of a very basic issue. This case is not merely about Mr. Daly's future. He's a fourth grade teacher. It is about the future of those fourth grade students that he would teach. They get one shot at fourth grade. Each one of those kids has one future, and fourth grade is going to play an enormously important part in their future. As a result, the school district has an obligation, if not to provide the best people to forward those kids' future, but at least people who can perform satisfactorily. There's no question that there's plenty of evidence in the record to support the hearing officer's findings that Mr. Daly was failing to do that.
Or the part of the argument from your opposing counsel appears to be that the ALJ failed to resolve discrepancies in the evidence that were evident between the principal's notes and the principal's statements. Mm-hmm. Can you comment on that, please?
Sure. Notes are not transcripts. Notes are a basis for helping you remember when you have to talk about those notes later on. So to the extent that notes don't necessarily track exactly with the person's later statements is not a big issue. The question of whether or not the hearing officer should have reconciled those two things, the hearing officer did when he said that these deficiencies were convincingly proven. He decided that Principal Hasker was not impermissibly biased against him, that did give him a fresh start, but that Mr. Daly was not cutting it as a teacher and had no ambition to try and improve his performance. What he thought he was giving the students was good enough. It might have been good enough for Mr. Daly, but it was not good enough for the people who supervise the implementation of education in our school district. If there are no other questions, I would ask that you affirm the decision of the Board of Education and not return Mr. Daly to the classroom. Thank you very much.
We have not conceded that there's substantial evidence to support the hearing officer's findings. The hearing officer did not make enough findings to support his conclusion of a deficiency in the performance. And that conclusion of a deficiency is an ultimate finding, which must be supported with historical evidentiary facts. This is a teacher who had a 16-year career before these proceedings started against him. He had received adequate and above average ratings for 16 years. He did not suddenly fall off a cliff. Something happened. Superintendent Anderson decided to recommend him for dismissal. That happened when he got a new principal. This continued over to his middle school, in which he did not get anywhere close to a fresh start because Superintendent Anderson left damning information on the web where everyone could find it and use that to form an opinion about the teacher before he ever stepped foot on the school grounds.
What about the ALJ's finding where he refers to the fresh start problems and then says, quote, that fact cannot excuse the unsatisfactory classroom performance observed by Ms. Hasker, Ms. Anderson, and others, close quote. I mean, how could he be more specific?
He has to identify what the inadequate performance is, and I think that there is substantial evidence in the record every time that Principal Hasker issued a letter of reprimand, a letter of direction, or an evaluation, the teacher responded in detail with it, disputing such things as she would say that the lesson plan didn't include something, and he'd say, I did follow my lesson plan. I complied with my lesson plan.
Isn't that a disputed factual issue that could have gone either way and can't be essentially retried on appeal?
It is a disputed factual issue, but the hearing officer came to the conclusion of unsatisfactory performance. He did not enter the underlying findings that were necessary to support the ultimate finding. And that is what the statutory framework requires here, is a determination of the evidentiary findings so that the school board can then come in and determine whether, based on those evidentiary findings, there has been unsatisfactory performance. This is a case of a teacher who loves teaching, had an exemplary career for a number of years, even received a Walmart Teacher of the Year Award just before this process started, and he deserves to be reinstated and returned to educating students. His other students had excellent reports and achieved well above district average. I ask that you reinstate this teacher. Thank you.
Thank you both for your arguments this afternoon. The case will stand submitted. We will issue a written opinion in due course.